Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Neil and the Lakers Life Hour. Well, here we are 2 days after Election Day, and we know nothing, which is rather sad. I mean, really, at this point, I would hope that we would have more information. In fact, we were supposed to have more information this morning at 9 from Nevada, but nothing. Of course, this isn't a political show, but all I've been thinking about is the election. 914-338-0164 is our call and number. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We don't have any callers currently in the queue, so hopefully someone will join us. Also invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile. But in all honesty, I mean, I've never been so anxious about an election in my entire life. I produced so much anxiety on Tuesday. I was unable to sleep until after 1 a.m. Neil luckily fell asleep at a normal hour. So I suppose you manage your emotions a bit better.
Yeah, knowing how it's going to turn out, I don't have to have anxiety.
Oh, please.
Yeah. But I can't, I'm not allowed. The angels say I'm not allowed to tell anybody. Yeah, end result.
Oh, you keep secrets from your twin soul.
Yeah, the angels have spoken.
Oh, please. But, I'm gonna excuse me while I get my vomit receptacle.
Yeah, it's all over your face.
Oh,
but
please. It's actually all over your face.
Well, the clues are planted. And there is a higher course of energy going through our history, our current history.
Current events.
But according to Revelation, it's all history.
But it is history. The election is history now. Actually,
well, that's the popular term for history,
right?
But the academic term for history is something that has occurred. It's history. You can establish history currently, but that's more of a corrupted sense of
right. That's what
history.
I'm saying. I'm saying that history is not accurate unless you talk about the election, which is in history. It was Tuesday. That's historical. Right now, it's not. We're still establishing what the results are, which is not history yet.
No. It's a high story, though.
I'd like to get high because of the story.
Yeah.
I'm sure many people are getting high because of this story.
Well,
we will soon
find out who topples here.
Well, it's scary because we're reading through the LA Times and apparently the Supreme Court can decide if the votes are constitutional or not, if the count was constitutional. So this new justice that has been appointed to the Supreme Court obviously is very conservative, frighteningly conservative, and obviously appointed by Trump. And she could swing the outcome, and even if Biden is elected by the Electoral College, she could wipe that away, and Trump could remain in office.
Well, to some extent, the count. At some point, someone's going to have to be.
Well, that's what you told me. I didn't read the article. We didn't have time to.
It is. I didn't thoroughly read the article. I looked at the the heading.
So.
And didn't have time to really go through it, but, and it's just an editorial. It's just a person's opinion. Can an American president really believe that millions of lawfully cast ballots should be counted? That puts us in extremely dangerous waters. Trump's Supreme Court picks could decide whether he remains president. Now, this was written by someone named Erwin Chemerinsky, who is a dean of the U.S. Berkeley School of Law and a contributing editor to Opinion. And, he concludes it by saying it's deeply distressing to contemplate how the Supreme Court and three justices appointed by Trump could anoint him to stay in the White House. I think it's highly unlikely. It's more.
Well, you're guilty of fear mongering this morning because.
No, I'm saying what's in the paper here.
Well, you said you're being more clear. But
and they even use the word
how you presented
Bush
it
versus Gore was the first
different.
Time in history that the Supreme Court, in effect, decided a presidential election, and it did so by ignoring basic constitutional principles. Well, we know that where that's going to get us.
So there's a real danger. There's a real danger. And of
the
course,
the court might be willing to reconsider the matter after the election. Well, I don't know. I think it's an unlikely scenario, but it has happened apparently before. And, the way that Trump is in terms of being unconventional and challenging and ridiculing the system, it doesn't put in for a fair set of circumstances in terms of our immediate future.
One of his most recent tweets said, "Stop the vote!" Exclamation point. Now, if the vote was indeed stopped, he would lose. So, I mean, he's not even, he's such a clown.
Well,
I'm sorry. I mean, I just, it's ridiculous.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
Anyways.
I mean, and there's a part of me that thinks that this is the electoral process is not really what we think it is, and that the selection of presidents is not really done by the people, and what is playing out in the media is theater. So I'm not completely convinced. I'm not completely convinced that our votes really do count. I'm not. And there are a lot of people that subscribe to that belief that presidents aren't elected, that they are selected by the people that are in power in the world with the largest resources of money and power and things like that. So, I don't know. We have Jennifer. Jennifer, do you want to talk to us, or are you just listening? Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, Jennifer. But, anyway, I don't know. At 9 o'clock, they were supposed to announce the Nevada count. It's interesting, too, because if you go online and look up election results, the AP counts or calls states differently than the major media outlets, such as ABC, CNN, NBC, so on and so forth. So there's a difference in what you see according to who has what votes or what electoral college has been applied to each candidate. And so if you look up election, Joe Biden has, according to the Associated Press, won Arizona. But according to CNN, that state is too close to call still. So right now, AP says 264 to 214, Biden to Trump, and in terms of the electoral votes, and on CNN, it would be 11 less, I believe it's for Biden. So it's 253. They have not called Arizona. But last night there were protests at the polling place. They had to close the polling center in Arizona. And because it's like you can openly carry weapons there, there were people like with rifles outside, you know, different types of guns outside the voting center. And the press and the voting staff had to leave. And we're unable to continue, unfortunately.
Well, in some way, we've got to steer this back to our spiritual psychic discussion.
Oh, okay.
We're not doing the political show, but somehow we've got to switch it back.
Well, think of something then.
Well, we always have something.
Let's talk about the course. The course of this election and what the higher plan is for this country and the world. I mean, not necessarily revealing that higher plan in the discussion, but
that's what
discussing
the revelation is it.
Right.
Unveiling.
Right. So,
and we don't have to go into severe detail about the symbolism of revelation because it's hard to really pinpoint exactly what was being said and what it meant and various interpretations. But what we can do, when we talk about a divided nation, we also talk about the divided self. That was a book too, Divided Self, nonfiction. When we talk about our divided energies, we are divided in spirit, we're divided in body, within ourselves, and we have a constant struggle, I think, that we have between our karma and our higher self transcendent energy. So when we come into the world, we're already in a kind of civil war battle within ourselves that is demanding.
The civil war of the psyche
is between our karma, if you will, and our higher self. Karma being what we brought into the world from past lives.
But it's interesting because, you know, karma, sorry to interrupt, but karma oftentimes consists of good things that we bring into the world. So merging our good karma with our transcendence is also part of the journey, because the negative karma obviously needs to be transcended. But
generally speaking,
the positive karma.
Good karma. But it's very rare to have an absolute good karma. Very rare.
I'm not talking about an absolute good karma, but what I'm saying is that we're talking about division. I mean, there's division within karma itself. What's wrong? There's division within karma itself. There's the return to the planet is based on that the karma that is unresolved. But the good karma that we have is there as well. And as we move through life and try to shed negative karma and move into a higher transcendent zone, I mean, a perfect example is we can marry a karmic mate and have a wonderful marriage. And we have children. Those children are karma. Or a mix of karma and transcendence, or do you know what I'm saying? The mate that you pick may be a karmic mate, but the relationship goes to a more transcendent level because of how the relationship evolves.
Yeah.
So
the issue of karma is that in most cases, even if we have good karma, as you expressed it, the negative karma that we do have is still at battle with it. So the majority of human beings do have strife and conflict and things that they have to get through. in spite of all of their good qualities, there's always some kind of lock-in division of energy that contrasts us. Now, that may be the basics of nature, the struggle to survive and all that adaptation thing. But when we get into the matter of the soul, when we open up the soul's content, we find that there is more than meets the physical eye. We're getting into the reasons and the root systems as to why some things don't quite come into focus the way they should. Now, take for example, we had a recent situation in terms of nature where some plants don't thrive where there's too much shade. They need sun. So because of lack of sun, they wither, they die, they just don't thrive. If our souls are comprised of past lives where we were undernourished, where we were abused, where we weren't given the kind of nutrients in life that we readily deserved, that energy comes and follows us. Even if we were victimized at the time, it still follows us because there's this nature that we have to overcome our conflicts. And that's not necessarily a karmic situation. That's in the element of the spirit, that in our willpower, we have to overcome things and get out of a victimization mode. So those listeners, if you have come into the world feeling undernourished in some areas, you know, bookworms that aren't athletic, athletic people that are not smart, they can't get into a university, the people who have certain defects, even when we get into the idea of stuttering. I had a client who was horrible, stuttered, he couldn't speak, and ended up being a multimillionaire.
And that client was you yourself.
Yeah, well, yeah. But
except for the multimillionaire part.
Well, I was thinking about somebody else.
No, I'm teasing.
There are...
But we're talking about defects that a person comes into the planet with, in regard to being undernourished, not necessarily coming into the world into a family where there's a lack of nourishment, because we're talking about defects, because that is also karmic, obviously. But defects like, not having athletic ability and not being able to participate in sports or not being smart enough to move forward and succeed in school, those are different kinds of defects than having a dysfunctional home.
Well, yeah, and there's a great diversity. Even in our animal societies, there are societies such as elephant societies and things that nurture the older elephants.
Yeah, well, we were just watching a special last night about about monkeys and primates. And this one, oh God, it was very upsetting to me. And of course, I know that nature, there's the alpha male and the structures of societies within animal groups. Sometimes there are rejects, just like in, when there are, the runt of the litter is rejected. Well, in this case, in the special we were watching, it was the elder primate that was rejected from the group, and it was really sad. It makes me feel like crying.
A higher alpha male, but
start crying,
consequently, he had lost all of his teeth. So he was this extreme outcast living by himself.
Trying to
be thrown.
And they were talking about how primates have a great ability to adapt, and how he is, as a lone primate, has learned to adapt and become a scavenger in order to survive. I mean, it's very sad.
Yeah, he was ousted.
Very sad.
You know, there's no emotion. They're just ousted. But again,
has to be emotion in the primate.
In the colony, there wasn't.
Right. For him, though, there has to be.
Grouping, there wasn't. But we also have very diverse theories of primates. The gorilla, the alpha gorilla, very fierce, powerful intimidating, and yet was playfully putting up with the baby gorillas, hitting them on the head and gently holding them and playing with them and laughing, tolerating them to a certain extent. There are elders in the group, and there's elders in chimpanzee groups that take on friendships, and some of the younger monkeys might become a friend to one of the older chimps. So we just have a different energy field of how we cross lines into this battle of the soul, battle of the spirit, even in our own human species. We have people who are severely bigoted, and we have people who will risk their lives to save people who are being persecuted or enslaved. So we can't generalize specifically what the existence of life is about. We have to say that we are entering a world of severe conflict, which tends to suggest that we have to survive. Some of us have more modes of comfort than others, but in the end, we're all cast off. We have to grow up, except for those people who just stay and are sheltered by their family throughout their lives. But when we get to the point...
And that happens.
Yeah, there are some people who just choose not to enter society, and they're
sheltered.
They're content to stay at home and live their lives in the home they grew up in, and with their parents as their main keeper, and that's it.
But the problem with that is that, you know, that's not going to... A person who does that is going to have to come back and face that journey in their next lifetime.
Possibly.
It
all depends on what the energy of... John Kennedy Toole, who wrote the Confederacy of Deuces, Dunces.
he
died without ever having that book being published, and then he lived with his mother. He was terribly obese.
Well, that's
social,
I mean,
reject, but that's not the full detail of his life. But he died,
but
his mother took over the book, and it won the Pulitzer Prize.
Okay, so that's wonderful, but he was incredibly obese, so he had severe problems. And how is he not going to come back to the planet, being terribly obese, living at home? So he had a Pulitzer Prize winning book, and he was brilliant, I guess, in some aspect. But that doesn't.
No, the idea. I mean,
fill
to graduate
the,
from the planet entirely.
That's what we're talking about.
So
what we're talking about, getting back to the point of being someone who lives at home and is afraid to face the world because of they feel cocooned in the comfort of their family's home, is not going to transcend.
Well, the idea of transcendence is even deeper than that. It's hard to transcend whether you're in the home or out
of
the home.
Well, of course it is. I mean, I'm not making that's not the point. But we're on that topic. So being in the home and not producing enough energy to graduate from the planet because you were lazy or afraid to go out into the world and make your way in life, that's going to be measured. And just as someone who is in the world can not transcend because they were too involved with the world. I mean, it's a different grading system. The grading system is going to be adjusted to each person's individual journey.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we have our individual conflicts. And to transcend those is part of the issue of where our soul goes into the next stage of existence. So even if we're in a crisis like we are now, getting back to our state of affairs in the nation, even if we are in a crisis of sorts, the determining factor of how we release ourselves from that crisis is really the input of the human mind itself. You know, what creative choices, what intellectual choices we make in order that we don't repeat ourselves in the rut system. Now, let's take, for instance, the United States governments, the House, the Senate, Supreme Court, they can't decide who wins. So we locked in and accept it. Can you imagine being frozen in a region of indecision that nothing gets done because no one can come to an agreement? So we're in lockdown. Talk about lockdown. We're in lockdown. I mean, that's not going to happen, but in a world of possibilities, not probabilities, but possibilities, if we look at a state of existential crisis and existential stagnation, we can assume that there is no movement. But yet, at the same time, in any standing still object, there is movement. There is molecular movement. There's atom movement. So the prospect that we are moving forward, even though we may be at a standstill, is considered under the heading of a process. Our souls, our spirits are in suspended animation right now. We're in lockdown while the body decides what to do with the next journey and phase of the soul and the spirit. So the soul and the spirit are somewhat at mercy of the body, meaning the ego. What we decide to do while we're holding the ball in this brief period of life, be it 70, 80, 90 years, or more or less. So once that decision is made, once the count is tabulated as to how we, our days have been numbered and defined, and how that equates to progress or transcendence, will determine our next stage of life. So it's not that, like Dylan Thomas said, you don't go gentle into the good night. You rage at the dying of the light. Meaning that we can't assume to be placid. We can't assume that we can just be stagnant, like we retired. A lot of people say, well, I retired, I'm playing golf, I go down to the coffee shop, we see a movie, we do a cruise. I don't know. It all sounds nice, very pastoral, very sweet, you know. I mean, I don't look at cows grazing in the pasture after they've been giving milk all their lives, those lucky cows that just get to graze, and say, boy, you guys, y'all, you're concerned about your karma? Yeah. You know, I don't. It's not necessary that we have to rest while we're alive, and we don't deserve our rest. But at least this moment thinks that the attitude of existence is up until the rim of glass is overflowed, up until our last breath. We're supposed to have pen in hand and be working.
And I do have pen in hand right now to write down this caller's number who just came in.
Yeah. So they want to say something or
It's Camille from the last couple of shows. What's the date today? I didn't even write this down. Yet. Okay. Bring Camille on. Hello.
Hi there. Thank you.
Hi.
It is November the 5th.
Hi, and thanks for your 7/13/76, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how I could forget what the date is today, but I just didn't have it in my mind. And thank you for your friend request, and we really appreciate that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes, you're welcome. I'm not calling for about anything political because I'm over it, you know. But
are
I'm
you?
Monitoring it.
You're,
yeah,
so you're not over it. You're not over it because you're monitoring it.
Yeah, here and there. I mean, I have a small child, so it's like I can't just tap in and tune in, you know.
Yeah, you've
other things
like
need
that
to be watched, like fun stuff. So I, you know, and when I do check into it, I'm kind of like, what's going on? I'm not sure anymore, so I just turn it off.
Yeah, it's been pretty, I mean, it has, you know, things haven't been changing that rapidly, unfortunately.
No.
So,
exactly.
It's funny that you're not able to do it. But anyway.
Yeah.
So you're not calling about
something
political. So what is the subject matter today?
Oh, hold on. You know what? If I thought I had the time to talk, and then it seems like I don't. I have to call back in. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, Camille left us, Neil.
Yeah. I think that was good and horrible.
I just minimized. Oh, shoot. I don't know what I'm doing.
But we were talking.
Pressed the wrong button here. About what we were talking about.
When do we stop living?
Right.
When do we stop struggling, and when do we stop being concerned about existence?
Well, being concerned about existence. I mean, it's more than that, because, you know, when we talk about the retiree who is enjoying life, playing golf, going on trips, it's not that that person doesn't care about existence, but their existence is directed in such a way that is more ego-driven, because they're living for pleasure in their later years of life, which some people think, you know, you've earned. Hold on, Camille is back. Hi.
Sorry about that. I called a slow period at work, and someone appeared at the door and needed my assistance.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Yeah, I was calling about, so there is someone in my life who is a friend. We are becoming friends. And I know, okay. I called about Mason, okay, but this man, Wes, his birthday, December 21st, 1984.
Okay, you like younger men. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
That's who came. That's who appeared.
He appeared. He's 26. No, 36. Mm. No, 36 years old. Mm-hmm. 36 years old. And you're 7'13", 76. She's 34'7".
Correct.
She's 34'7"? 8? Yeah. 34'7". Okay. Well, interesting, because you hold the master numbers in your first two numbers, 7 and 1. His master number is 1, yours is 7. Which is next to a 3, which happens to be the sum of his month and his day. 12, 13, 4. Years don't do. The years don't align. They're interchangeable. The days align. So and your months add up to his 10, 1. So 7, 7 and 12. What's your question about Wes? Exactly.
Well, I saw we have many mutual friends, and I saw where he popped up in Facebook dating some months ago, but I didn't do anything about it. I deleted my profile there, and then eventually, some months later, he requested my Facebook friendship. So we are, even though we live in the same small town, we are becoming friends, but we have not yet officially met. But we are starting to communicate, you know, one-on-one. So my question is this someone who I could actually put any sort of, consider romantically?
Well, there's a karmic connection between the two of you, and that's illustrated in the numbers as far as a romantic connection. What does he do for a living? Is he...
I see him polishing rocks and like something with like gemstones, amethysts, and he's doing and polishing and selling gemstones.
And can I ask a question about Mason real quick? How long did Mason live with you?
About almost a month.
Just a month.
Almost.
The thing that I would caution you about with future men is the fact that you have a small child, a daughter, and bringing men into your home, especially to live with a small child, I would be very cautious about that because of her safety. Not to say that Mason was a bad person or would have done anything to your daughter, but I think that it's really, that is probably the primary importance. That's the thing you should be most concerned about, is your daughter's safety. And why did Mason move in? Did he lose a place to live? I'm sorry, I'm going backwards away from the relationship.
No, that is what happened. That is what happened.
So he had nowhere to go, and then he came to move in with you. And then the commitment issue, he didn't necessarily want to be exclusive. And was he paying bills or anything like that?
Yes, he was.
He was contributing. Because you don't want to be taken advantage, you know, you don't want anyone to take advantage of you. And, a guy coming into your home who's he's contributing, but he's living in your home, and then he's saying, well, you know, I'm not sure I want to be exclusive with you, is not really kosher in my estimation.
But, you know, Camille, you came in to this planet with
11.
A lot of karma regarding relationships. Now, if we look at your month in West, its name is West?
West.
When we look at your month and his month, it adds up to 10, which is his karmic number. When we add up your days together, it adds up to 34, which is your karmic number.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even know that.
And not to mention that the karmic side is very interchangeable, especially in the day.
Right.
What you have, even if we look at your 7 and his 4, we get an 11, which is your 713. So what we have is you're in this little town, Lincoln City, but what you have seen, at least in our experience, is that you're connecting souls from a past life, which come from a past life system of turmoil. So all of these that you're visiting and trying to connect to all come from turmoil and karma. Now, that doesn't mean that it has to result in turmoil, but it's coming out of turmoil because it's coming out of a karmic situation that wasn't completed. And for some reason, in your lifetime, you're currently going back, at least a generation, to connect to people that you've known karmically in other lifetimes. Now, together, you two become an 8, which is in his day. And that's followed by a 4, which is in your day as well. The 8 is in his year, and it's also in your month and day. So there is some sense that in your struggle to connect to men from a karmic situation and turmoil and conflict, that there is some suggestion it can become something good. There's no promise, but you're in a theater where something good can come out of it. Your problem is that there's a contingency going on because the maturity of the individuals that you're connecting to aren't highly developed. And this guy polishes agates or stones or whatever, rocks. I mean,
he has two jobs.
But what's his other job?
Something at the casino, but I'm not exactly sure what. I haven't asked him, but he works at the casino.
Yeah, Lincoln City has a casino now.
Because he's a Native American. Is that why?
I don't know.
Is it a Native American casino, or is it this?
What? Say again.
Is it a Native American casino, or is it just a card room or something? That's Native American.
Yes, it is. It's a big, 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 big enterprise. It's humongous.
Yeah. It's hard to...
It employs a lot of people.
Yeah, it employs a lot of people. Well...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see. When I was there was no casino, but...
Well, they did, the Native American containers came later.
It's a Native American run, and it's a big employer. Like, you really want to work there and stay there. And
we've got them in California too. Like, there are large, there are large casinos. They're, you know, big operations.
Yeah.
Your problem, if we can call it a problem, is that
if we can call it a problem,
a conflict, karmic conflict in relationships that you can't change, but conflict.
Okay.
What the person you happen to meet, like for instance, your 76 comes to a 13, but his 1984 is a 13.
Oh,
so in the accumulation of your
day.
Year, there's some suggestion that this guy, I mean, his past life, there's a lot of conflict regarding karma that has to be worked out, because that could still feel good, okay. But, you know, where it's going to go, not so certain. Not so certain yet. I mean, your master number 7 is revisited in your year of 76. That's a 4, but it's broken up by 13, which is in your day. So you have a strange journey of trying to find balance in relationship, but it is possible. So anyone you present to us, as long as there's some sense of loose interpretation for something higher, anyone you present to us could potentially be your soulmate for a good period of time.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't need to force it into anything. It's just kind of, it's one of those, oh, that's interesting. I came across this person before. We've never met. And then we've got all these mutual friends. Okay, then now the person is becoming my friend, but I don't need to force it into anything one way or the other. I'm just a little bit curious. For a while there, within the past 10, 11 years, I kept meeting people born in 1984. And that's not what I sought out to do, but that's just who came in front of me. So I said, okay, that's interesting. I'm just going to leave it there. So,
well, you see, that's,
I don't know.
8 years, that's 8 years younger than me. And you have a 7-1 in your karma, which is an 8.
And the 10-11 for the last 10-11 years,
which
are 7-3, and then there's 7-1-3 together. You know, it's also interesting about Wes and Camille's numbers is the days add up to 34 if they're aligned, but not only that, the sum of the days themselves become 34.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's what I was
doing. Oh, you were doing the sum. Well, so, but they 2 and 1, his individual sum is 3 and her individual sum is 4.
Yeah.
But they align and become 34, 2 and 1, 3 and 1. So there's a strong connection. Here's that 10 again.
What you have to do, Camille, is decide with all these men you're meeting, decide how you best go through the relationship and wrap it up, if that's the case. Because they're either going to be something you have to go through to conclude so that you don't have to keep dealing with it, or go through and transcend with the person with. Either way, you win.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't think, you know, the way Mason moved into your house, I mean, it's a kind of a convenience situation. He didn't have anywhere to go, so you took him in. So it's not like you're moving in together because you're deciding to start a relationship that's bonded and committed because you want to start this, you know, live-in relationship in that manner. So I, going forward, wouldn't, you know, if Wes was without a home, suddenly lost his residence, I wouldn't say, hey, come and move in with me.
What is the psychic community like in Lincoln City now? Is there any metaphysical population or psychic?
I think I am the metaphysical population. It's spotty, it's sporadic. You don't really, I think we have one neon shop or something, one neon sign shop. And then we've got friends of mine who have an antique and engraving shop who they are but you don't, they don't promote themselves as such. Like,
I might be able
to go in the center of town, I guess, like downtown.
Yeah. Yeah. And they still have the Driftwood Library there?
Yes, but because of coronavirus, it's still closed for operation. It has not yet reopened.
Oh, yeah, I used to be chairman of the library board there.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah,
back,
it's still closed.
Back in the 70s.
I live within walking distance of the library.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's why we would look at it, Camille. These men that you're meeting are either here for you to get through the energy and resolve it once and for all and just experience the energy of the relationship, and or one of them is going to be lock-in. You're supposed to have a lock-in relationship before you leave the planet. You have another one.
How long do you plan? I mean, do you plan to make Lisa into your home for many years to come, or do you think you might come back?
I bought a home here.
You bought a home.
I bought a home, and my child is in school. We got a good school group here. I have dogs now and cats, so I'm pretty anchored, in my opinion.
No pun intended. She's right on the ocean.
Yeah.
So you are angry.
So I intend to. I mean, I didn't grow up transient, so I don't want my child to be transient either. But I'd like her, now that she's in this school group, to be here through eighth grade.
Well, it's a beautiful place to raise a child, with the ocean and the forest.
But it's there's the challenge of meeting people in a small town. And the fact that she's in a group of tribal past life individuals within a small town. I mean, you can be in a big city and be in a tribal group of past life individuals,
true,
and everyone you encounter can come from that same tribal group, even if it's New York City. But you're more limited in this capacity meeting men. Obviously, there are neighboring towns. I don't know.
How old is your daughter?
Mason's almost 9. Almost 9.
Hmm.
Mason what?
Oh, well, okay. He collected his essential items, but he still has one car and his tools, and he put up a flag over my porch. So all that stuff is still there. So he's not really gone, I don't feel. We still have something we need to discuss. I didn't let him say something. I just acted the way that I did. I can't take it back now, but I had to erect some boundaries. So that's what I did. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't reemerge, and if he did, we would really need to sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I personally feel Mason's the person that you're going to be with long term.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he has maturity issues, and you know, those are going to be hard to resolve moving forward.
Right.
But, you know, obviously he needs to collect his things. I don't know what it is. I mean, regarding resolution with him, what are you looking to resolve, Camille?
I have to ask myself that question.
Okay.
Well,
you don't have to answer it, you know.
The more certain you are about the kind of human being you want to share your life with, the more likely you're going to bring that human being in, because you're going to allow yourself to separate from people who don't match your credentials, your ideals.
Right.
And you should start really defining the kind of man you want in your life and see in that small community if that man can, you can bring that man to you.
See, I get a feeling of like with these guys, both of them, Wes and Mason, that there's a transient energy, you know, like transient isn't the right word, but just, you know, they kind of survive and they're, you know, they have their jobs, but they're not really in a career necessarily. I mean, Mason worked on a crab boat, and I guess that is a career to many, but there's just something that seems like not grounded, that feels not grounded about both of these guys to me. You know, that's my vibe.
What I would tell you, Camille, is to you go inside your own heart and you decide how well it's doing. Is it still broken? Who broke it? Did you get past that? You've got to examine the issues of your heart and settle the matters there before you start to look out for an individual that's going to help balance your life and be your soulmate. And if there's something left in your heart, there are things that you haven't resolved yet, that's what you have to make peace with, and you can do it in your own private moment. But that's what I feel, is that there's something left in your heart that has not been repaired.
Okay.
Does that make any sense, or am I way off?
Yes, it makes sense.
Okay, then go there, talk to your heart, talk to yourself, resolve those issues, and then see what life does for you around your circumference.
Okay.
Okay, Camille. Well,
thank you.
We hope you have a nice day.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, well, we're getting our 60-second warning, so we're back on the air next week, Wednesday, at our regular time, and we hope to hear from some more of you then. Have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.